Hey, it's Melvin. Before we jump into today's podcast session, if your private practice income feels unpredictable, here's one simple shift. Keep your private pay clients and just add one insurance panel for stability. Alma makes it easy for you to do that. You can try it free for 2 months over at sellingthecouch.com/Alma. sellingthecouch.com/Alma. Hello, hello. Welcome to today's session of Selling the Couch. I hope you are doing well, having an incredible day, having a great 2026. If you're listening to this way later, I hope 2026 was great for you. Today, we are talking about a topic that I know many of us are thinking about, which is blogging still worth it in this age of AI? And especially, you know, for many of us, especially as we have started businesses, blogging, start a blog, write more is inevitably a tip that is given and recommended by a lot of experts in order to build your private practice, but most importantly, to have a steady stream of traffic coming to your website. I'm joined by my friend Daniel Fava from Private Practice Elevation, and we are diving deep into this conversation, Private Practice Elevation. Daniel's partner is actually a group practice owner. Daniel has dove deep into this, providing website services, website design therapists, services for therapists, as well as SEO services, and then just WordPress maintenance services for therapists. And so we start our conversation at a 40,000 foot view. So traditionally, why in the world has blogging been recommended for therapists? And then we dive deeper into what are some of the biggest shifts in blogging and content creation since the rise of AI. So we talk about Google's new EAT update and why that really matters, and how I actually think it's going to be really beneficial to therapists. We dive then into social signals. So in other words, why does posting on social media matter for a therapist? And what is the best way to sort of use social media in order to build that authority as a clinician? And then we go deeper into this final question of, if you haven't blogged in months or ever, like, what's the best place to start? And the nuance to that question as well, which is, what's one thing that therapists can do to make their blog stand out in a world that is more and more saturated by AI? I learned a ton of information just in this conversation, and I think you will as well. You know, this goes deep, and I think this might be a good opportunity if you are able to just to pull out a notebook and to take some notes, because there's a lot of really good stuff here. So here's my conversation with Daniel Fava from privatepracticeelevation.com. Hey, Daniel, welcome back to Selling the Couch.
Hey, Melvin, great to be here. Thanks so much for having me back. It's always fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, before you even jump in, man, I'm just so grateful for our friendship. I'm grateful for the person you are. You know, we went through a season where we did regular calls, and then, you know, kiddos and all that life, all that, we got off calls, and then we've resumed our calls back, and they've just been so nourishing, and I'm really thankful for you. I'm thankful for your heart, just the way that you are as a person. And I think, you know, we build these businesses, but I think, you know, all the beautiful stuff that you're doing at Private Practice Elevation is an extension of who you are as a person. And so I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful, you know, we get to have a conversation on blogging and AI. Is that even worth it anymore? I'm just excited to hear your perspective.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me, and just for the kind words, and the feeling's totally mutual, Melvin. We've been friends, we've been connected for a long time, pretty much since I started doing what I'm doing. And so you've kind of been there as things have kind of morphed and changed, and really happy that I'm able to call you a friend and just connect, you know, when things come up, and hey, let's just chat about what's going on in life and business. And lately it's been more about life, you know, and that's been really just, you know, nourishing, and just, you're always just an inspiration to me, and just how you built your business with such intentionality and just focused on your values. So thank you for having me, and thank you for doing what you're doing.
Oh, you're so welcome. Man, I've been really excited about this conversation, because I think this is on a lot of therapists' minds, because one of, I would say, probably the top three most common pieces of advice for marketing a practice is to start writing and creating content online and optimize your website and all that stuff. So before we dive into the nitty gritty on this, what I thought was, why don't we take a, like, even a 40,000 foot view? So traditionally, why has blogging been such a powerful strategy for therapists in private practice, or therapists that are pursuing coaching or thought leadership or any of those kind of things?
Yeah, I think primarily blogging, and this is also kind of, it's related, but it can also be unrelated to SEO. Mm-hmm. But blogging is really a great way to build trust with potential clients, people who are gonna work with you. It gives you a chance to really kind of establish your voice, like, what's your message and how do you share your expertise and what's your specific angle, bent, expertise, authority on the topics that are you're really passionate about. So it gives you that chance to really kind of hone that. And that was something that I've always talked about since the beginning of doing what I'm doing is, yeah, start writing, because you're going to find out what are the topics that you love to write about. What are you passionate about teaching? And really, yeah, hone that voice. And so, and then the related side with SEO and visibility and all that stuff is that it gives you a chance to be discovered related to these certain topics. So that's really kind of the primary reason why so many people say, you know, blogging is so valuable. You got to be blogging. And it's kind of a double-edged sword, because I talk to so many people who are like, I don't want to do blogs. Everyone's saying I got to do blogs. But those are the two main reasons why we say that.
Yeah. I mean, even I think I love the fact that you focus, you didn't go to like, oh, you need to have keywords and this and that. But like, I love that you focused on like building trust, finding your voice, and sharing your unique perspective, because I think, I feel like as blogging evolved, I feel like many of us forgot that. And we started optimizing for things like keyword research and all of that stuff. And in the process almost became like a little, I mean, I know if you're listening, you'll resonate with this. Like, it seems like 10 people, 10 different therapists wrote the similar blogs on what, I don't know, EMDR is, right? Without sharing sort of their own perspective on it.
Right, exactly. And, you know, that's kind of really been, it's been a huge shift with AI, but it's also been a return back to really the essence of what SEO is about, is that Google wants to share the best answers with someone who's like searching for, you know, these questions. They're doing research, they're trying to find a therapist or a coach, you know, someone to work with. Google wants to send them to the best websites for what they're looking for. And so if your website is just filled with a lot of fluff that's just based on keywords and just like the mass quantity of articles on your website, that might not necessarily be the best experience for them. So that's kind of really like what the return back to like showcasing that expertise is all about.
Yeah. I feel like, especially for therapists, that we have built-in expertise, whether it's in a certain modality, whether through clinical experience, certain population. I completely agree with you. I actually feel like even with AI, the fact that these unique, nuanced experiences are going to, I mean, that's the stuff that's going to eventually, you know, stand out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So speaking of which, what has been the biggest shift when it comes to blogging and content creation since the rise of AI? I mean, I feel like we went from like talking about AI and like laughing about it to like now in the last year and a half, to be like, oh my gosh, this is changing website design, changing blogging, all of that stuff.
Yeah, this is here to stay. So, yeah, I think one of the biggest shifts is now that AI gives us access to, you know, say, write me a blog post about EMDR. Here it is. Copy, paste, put it on the website, you know? And so if so many people are doing that, then we're really watering down the information. And so, like I said, it's kind of this return to quality over quantity. And it's not so much about just having articles related to a specific keyword, but it's really about understanding. Google wants to understand really who you are, how trustworthy you are, how clearly your content answers those questions. And then this is a little on the technical side, how well structured your site is, which has to do with the architecture of your site, how people flow through those menus, something called schema markup, which is some code that goes behind the scenes that explains what each page is about and has lots of information there. And that kind of helps these bots, read through your content and establish things. So the shift is really towards making sure that, again, Google is sending folks to the best websites that have really showcased that experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. And I don't know how in-depth some of your listeners are, but back last summer, we had that EEAT update with Google, EAT update. And so that's what that stands for, that experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. So, just focusing on keywords, just doing, hey, here's a blog post about the symptoms of anxiety. That doesn't really share a lot of depth. That doesn't really go deep on topics. And so you really want to showcase, what is unique to you? What do you bring to the table? And so that's really been the biggest shift, is we're not focused on keywords anymore, but we're focused on really how deep can we go on specific topics.
So interesting. So even with that example of how to, work through anxiety, right? So most of us would think, okay, maybe just plug it into AI. What are the top things with anxiety? How would a therapist take a blog post or an idea like that? And then how would they make it their own, right? So obviously we can't talk about client side work.
Yeah.
Right. I guess, how do you make it personalized is what I'm saying, right? Based on that EAT criteria.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that you can probably share, stories. Obviously confidentiality is something you have to be aware of and consider, but there might be some sort of case studies or just experience that you've seen through the work that you've done. There may also be specific research that you've done or examples you use. I know, talking to my wife, especially with her work with couples, she has so many analogies and examples, and she's like, I need to put these in a book because everyone's always blown away by it. There's so just these simple examples. You can include things like that, exercises you take clients through. Another thing too, and we can talk a little bit about kind of the engagement on your website, is another factor, how are people actually reading the content that you're producing? And so video can be something great for that. If you're comfortable, you want to get in front of the camera, and it doesn't need to be fancy, but you can share these exercises or just kind of talk about the topic in video format. This doesn't replace the content of blogging, of the article, but it can really add to it, because someone can land on that page, click play, and they're sitting there watching that video for a few minutes, and Google's going, oh, people are interacting with this content. So this must answer these questions. It must be, really good content. So those are just a few, ideas that come to mind.
It's really interesting. So you said some really wonderful stuff there. So one was even thinking about, how do you personalize this blog post? Could something even maybe themes that you see, let's say you do like in Liz's case, right? She's works with a lot of couples. So you could say a broad theme that I see with a lot of the high achieving couples that I work with when it comes to anxiety is blank, right?
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Something like that.
Yeah. And that shares that experience and that expertise. That's something too, that we're also focusing on. You could even say in my 15 years of experience working with clients, it's kind of a subtle thing, but Google can pick up on that and see, wow, this person has been practicing for 15 years. And so those are some of the small little shifts that we are making kind of site-wide when we're, focusing on those about pages. We were talking about that experience. We're talking about, how long have you been established and, working in this field?
It's so interesting. You said the EAT thing. Can we dive a little deeper into that? Because I feel like you said it, It was awesome that you said it, and I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta write this down. So can you break it down again, just briefly, what each of those stand for?
Yeah, so it's EEAT, and so that's experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. And some of those are kind of, they're very closely related, and I kind of think of them as sort of like a, you know, sort of the broad topic of like, does this, is the content I'm creating really showcase, hit these points, you know, am I sharing my experience? And so that's sharing those examples, this expertise, that's like the depth of the knowledge you're sharing. Authoritativeness, it's kind of like what we just spoke about. I have 15 years experience, so I'm an authority in working with couples on blank. And then trustworthiness. Trustworthiness, you know, is something that when it comes to businesses, you can start to get into testimonials and reviews and stuff like that, which is a little bit tricky for therapists. But that's kind of that's what, you know, Google's putting out for all businesses, is including that trustworthiness. So it's finding ways to build that trust with people.
So even with the trustworthiness thing, like, let's say you have like a podcast, for example, and you have a bunch of Apple positive reviews. Does Google capture that as sort of a trustworthiness signal?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that all can be related. And you can also like include that on your website as well. You know, here's our rating in Apple. Check out our podcast, stuff like that.
I actually, I think I just said this, but like, I actually think this is a wonderfully like positive direction.
Yeah.
Because I think it broadly defines trustworthiness. It broadly defines authoritativeness. But because, like, again, many clinicians have niched expertise, it's like, I feel like this whole E criteria is like perfectly built for therapists.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's sort of a flip side, though, in that we have to do the work to actually showcase these, you know, experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. You know, I pretty much everyone I speak to these days, potential clients, are saying the same thing. Like 6 months ago, a year ago, I had a website and it was there and it was, you know, people were finding me. I was getting clients through it. But because of these new higher standards that Google's holding us to, we are seeing a drop off. So that's unfortunate, but it's also clear in that we have some work that we have to do. But yes, we are therapists, are positioned to share that expertise because, you know, they have hours and hours and hours of sitting with people's challenges and working through those challenges with folks. So they have so much to share.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, it's Melvin. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast. If you're in private practice, you've probably felt the ups and downs. Some months are full, others are quiet. One simple way to stabilize things, keep your private pay practice, but just add one insurance panel. Not all of them, just the highest paying one that's in your area. That way you still have freedom, but you're not fully dependent upon referrals. That's where Alma really helps. They make it easy to accept insurance, handle all the administrative work, and keep things running smoothly. And just for STC listeners, you can try it absolutely free for 2 months. Just go to sellingthecouch.com/Alma and see if it fits your practice. Alma is spelled A-L-M-A. Daniel, one of the things that you said was engagement on your website is like such an important thing. And you said not just like writing, right, but video as well. But so even this is something, I think this might be a good way to do it, but I'm curious, you know, one of the things that we've been doing on the STC site is for every one of these podcasts, right? So we have the audio, so I have an audio player. We have edited video that's embedded on, it's on the YouTube channel, and then we embed it.
Yep.
But then we use AI then to take the original transcripts of my original content and then sort of turn it into a blog post. And then we have a human side. So my executive assistant goes through and, you know, hyperlinks in a thing and does a final sort of pass to make sure it sounds human and not like AI. Is that the right approach, or is there...
That's exactly what I'm doing, my friend. So yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we're recording the audio and then we have the video. It's great that you're putting it on YouTube. You have another place that Google says, oh, Melvin's established over here as well as just their website. Those are all connecting. And then if somebody watches the video on the show notes page, that keeps people on the website longer. Again, those signals that people are engaging with your content. And similarly, we do likewise. We take the transcript and work with AI to create really highlights. And to be honest, like ours, we don't go into too much depth. It's more about just really like, what are the main questions this episode is going to answer? Mm-hmm. Who is our guest? That sort of information, and then putting that human touch to it. So yeah, I mean, that's the approach that we take.
Well, so a few things there. One is, if you guys are watching on YouTube, Daniel did this beautiful visual. It's very fast. It was like this, right?
I don't even remember that.
I thought it was like such an apt visual because my understanding is, you know, for the longest time, SEO used to be focused on websites, right? So linking from one blog post to another blog post, Google loves that. Google still seems to love that, but now it's kind of gone from linking in within websites to also like a video that you've created, maybe a LinkedIn post. So it's almost like this, think of it like a spider web, but it's my understanding, and correct me, like it's almost like the spider web is now your digital footprint across the whole internet versus just confined to a website.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can kind of use this as sort of a segue of getting into like, how are we thinking a little differently at Private Practice Elevation? Like some of the things that we've changed when it comes to SEO, like we've had to really revamp our whole really service package and like how we do things. And so social signals are becoming more important. It's something that we're diving a little more into because we've never been like a social media management type of agency. We're really focused on the web design and then how do we create visibility for that website. Mm-hmm. But we are working a little more closely with our clients to help them, you know, create some social posts, and that could be, you know, take the blog post that you've just written and create some posts related to that, just to create that, you make sure that you've got that footprint. That footprint kind of reaches wide. And again, you think about, well, if there is a website that has maybe just a little bit of information and they've got no presence on all these other social media platforms and other websites, they're not sharing that expertise versus a website that does have that. And Google says, oh, this person's really actively sharing on LinkedIn. They've got videos on YouTube. You know, that looks good. That looks like, oh, this person's got authority. They're established. They're being helpful. They're answering questions. So you can just kind of think of that end user who's looking for answers, who's looking for somebody to work with. They see all these great resources, you know, for another website, and maybe yours is lacking. And who is Google going to want to show those answers to? You know,
it's really interesting. I wanted to make sure we didn't gloss over this. Can you explain in really simple language what a social signal is?
Yeah, social signal is just kind of like what it sounds like. Like, oh, there's a signal coming from YouTube and LinkedIn and Instagram, Facebook. Like Google can see where your business is listed in all these different places. And so, you know, it is helpful to have some established platforms out there. And you know, it's really up to you. And I know you teach this a lot, Melvin, you know, find out what works for you. I'm not saying you need to spend hours a day on every single platform, but have a presence there and even start simply, you know, we're talking about blogging, start simply with share the blog posts that you write on these different platforms, you know, in different ways. And Google can see that and see that you're established there.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Even just to give you like a little, y'all like a little tidbit. And I, for those of you guys followed, you know, I started recently learning to play golf here in the like the fall of 2025 and, you know, going like hardcore and with like weekly lessons and doing all this stuff, right? But I have shared some updates on LinkedIn about my golf journey, and that's really the only place that I've shared it. And so then I got curious like a few weeks ago, and I put it into both, it's pronounced Grok, right? Grok, and then also ChatGPT. And I just simply said, like, can you tell me about Melvin Varghese, the psychologist's journey into golf, right? And what it found was these LinkedIn posts, and it referenced him. He's like, oh yeah, he recently started playing golf and he's documenting his journey. And I was like, this is so interesting how, you know, like I never like referenced it on the podcast, but it's like a random LinkedIn post. So I think this is also another lesson for me of, I think many of us, and I've gone through seasons where we can do like that, what is it, like drive-by marketing?
Yeah.
Right. Like yeah. Almost like creating, it's easy to create an AI generated,
yeah,
like social media post and then just like, and then go, right? Yeah. But I think there is something to there of the engagement with that post. And, you know, I think there's, that is also an evolution of SEO.
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of brings me to my next point is just like, you need to be able to go deep on specific topics. And it's not as simple as just publishing all these blog posts and just kind of that, you know, like we talk about quantity over quality. And so kind of that's another just like huge shift for us is, it used to be, I just check the boxes, you know, like, yeah, we do a blog post, we optimize a page on a client's website, which means, you know, just rewriting the titles and the meta descriptions and some of the headers on the page, you know, all this stuff. But now it's much more nuanced. It's getting a little more technical. And, you know, if it's okay with you, I want to share just kind of like an specific strategy, like shift that we're doing.
Of course.
Yeah. So a term that we use is called topical depth, you know, and that's kind of what we've been discussing a little bit. So it used to be, we'd have so many people come to us, I want to rank for this keyword. I want to rank for this keyword, you know, and it's not that anymore. I'm sorry. Like we still have people that come to us that are just like, yeah, I'm not ranking for any keywords. And like, yeah, you want to show up for keywords, but it's not as simple as I just want to rank for this keyword. So let's write a bunch of topics about this keyword. It's part of it, but it's really much more holistic. And I hope that people are kind of grasping that from our conversation, because we're talking about social media, we're talking about video and engagement and stuff like that. So kind of the strategy that we're using to stand out and really focus on that topical depth means like we're focusing on a topic, not just a keyword. And so we're kind of restructuring our content into what is called pillar and cluster approaches. And I do have some of my notes. I spent some time with my SEO specialist, Michael, to kind of talk about this topic and make sure that I have my ducks in a row here. And so what that pillar and cluster approach means is that we're creating starting with one strong in-depth content piece on a broad topic. And that could be like how to find the right therapist for anxiety. And we're going deep. Like that could be like a 2000 word blog post. We're also including like tables of contents in these blog posts so that people can jump to the questions that they want answered, the different sections of that. And then we are writing shorter, more focused articles on specific questions that are kind of related to that. So that could be like what to expect in your first anxiety therapy session, where you're kind of talking through your process, you're sharing your experience and your expertise. Another related article could be CBT versus EMDR for anxiety. And so now we've got this pillar, is that really long in-depth piece, and a few supporting articles on the side. And those little supporting articles are linking back to that pillar piece, you know, because they're related and Google sees that there's related, you know, content. So those related posts link back to that main guide and they also kind of link to each other. And we use descriptive links, not just like, you know, want to learn more about CBT versus EMDR. You know, we don't want a read more link. We want to be like, you know, learn about the difference between CBT and EMDR for anxiety and that whole, you know, group of texts. I know we're getting really in depth here. That whole group of text is the link that goes over. Like, and so your users see that it's clear where that's going to take them to. Google sees that it's clear. And it helps all these systems and, you know, the AI systems and Google understand how that content fits all together. And each of those pieces as well are likely linking to like a service landing page. You know, ultimately we want folks getting to that service landing page that they are looking for an anxiety therapist. They're learning how to get started with that. So really the goal is to just make topics, not just keywords, topics easier to understand for people while really, you know, clearly showing that depth across that subject. And so this helps with, you know, being, you know, cited in those AI search results, those AI snippets and stuff like that. And that really kind of creates that depth. And so that's kind of the biggest shift we've taken. It used to just be once a month, we just write a blog post, but now it's just, it's so much, there's a lot more strategy behind it. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time to kind of nail down how, what is the strategy we want to take? Which topics do we start with? You know, and so that's kind of what we really help our clients with. Was that too much in the weeds? I'm sorry.
No, it's, this is, no, listen, I wanted us to go that deep into it because, even so, the cluster articles, do those link to each other selectively as well? Or
yes, they link to each other.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And they ultimately, each one is, you know, somewhere maybe mentioning, like, if you're curious about starting with anxiety therapy, you know, click here to learn more about our anxiety therapy service. And that links back to that service landing page. Okay. So all of that content is related, all of it is linked together. And so Google's seeing that depth because you're answering all these specific questions and there's a lot of detail to it. It's not just one blog post on its own, just sitting on your blog page.
That's interesting. For a therapist who hasn't blogged in months or like ever, what's the smartest place to begin again in this kind of AI world?
Yeah, I would say one thing I've always talked about is just start with those frequently asked questions that, you know, potential clients are going to reach out to you about. And those, each of those could be blog posts, and you can answer those sort of, you know, in sort of snippets on your service landing pages, if you have those pages in place, but then you can go really deep with those on your blog, in your blog section of your website. And so you can just kind of start small with that, you know, just create a list of frequently asked questions. This is also great because it could help cut down on the you know, time you spend on like consultation calls if you're providing those, because the information is there on the website. And then I would just say consistency is also really good too. Like, just keep consistent, even if that means just one blog post a month. Google likes that your website is growing and changing and you're adding content.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that piece of it too, because I think, I mean, I'm feeling this tension. I feel it all the time, which is like trying to create things with speed versus focusing on the long-term game.
Yeah.
And it seems like Google, I mean, you may get rewarded, right, with producing a bunch of content, but if you then create, I don't know, like 30 blog posts in 3 months, but then don't touch it for a year, Google probably doesn't like that.
Yeah, we've actually had some websites that were doing really well for a long time, and they have, you know, could be a large group practice. So like they've got their clinicians writing blog posts, which is great. But, you know, there's been clients where Michael, our SEO specialist, is like, this website is over optimized. It has too much content. So like we might need to comb through it and maybe consolidate some posts together. You know, which can be an issue too. So again, you know, back to what we've said a few times, that quality over quantity piece. Now it'd be kind of the other, you know, tip that I would have for people is like, yes, let's use AI to generate ideas and do research and that sort of thing. And that can really save you a ton of time. But then take what AI is giving you, and then put in your own experience, put in your, you know, what is going to showcase your trust and, you know, make it really your own and add your voice to it.
I keep thinking the phrase like less but better.
Yeah.
And it seems like that seems like a wise approach in this sort of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Daniel, our time, of course, has flown by. I have one final question for you, which is, what's one thing that therapists can do today to make their blog stand out in AI saturated web? And I say saturated because I feel like there is so much AI content creation out there now.
Yeah, I think we've touched on a number of things, but I think ultimately is make sure it doesn't lose that human touch. Like, and there's things that only you can teach on. There's things that only you can, you know, you say things a certain way that no one else is going to say. So try to find what those things are, and, you know, really, it takes a little bit of time to do this, and that consistency helps with it, but find those things that you love to talk about and how can you add, you know, that human touch, add a little bit of personality to it, so that it's more, it connects more easily with those potential clients rather than I just want to share information. Like, how can we connect? And I guess that's kind of what I'm trying to say is, how can you connect with potential clients more than just feeding them information?
Yeah. And it really seems like stories, while keeping confidentiality in mind, as well as sort of niche expertise and depth, seems like a really good strategy to think about.
Yep, absolutely.
Daniel, so grateful for you. You're doing some pretty amazing work at Private Practice Elevation. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and how we can reach out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, if you just go to privatepracticeelevation.com, you can check out what we do. And I mentioned this earlier, our primary services are website design and development and SEO services. We also have, we work on WordPress platforms. So we also have our WordPress care plans for folks who just don't want to touch their website. They want a team that they can trust to make all the updates and, you know, change content, add things and subtract things to their website, stuff like that. So yeah, go to privatepracticeelevation.com/kickoff, all one word, and you can schedule a free 15-minute call with myself, and you can just share a little bit about what's going on and figure out if we're a good fit to get you to where you want to go.
Awesome. Daniel, thank you so much for your time. And yeah, I'm really excited and grateful for this conversation.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Melvin. It's always great to hang out with you.
Yeah, likewise. Hey there, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Daniel, and especially if you have been feeling scared, uncertain, anxious, worried about the impact of AI and all the work that you've done with blogging, or you've been thinking about blogging and you're like, oh my gosh, is this thing even worth it? Because it just seems like ChatGPT can write out blog posts faster than I can think about what to write about. And I hope that this conversation has just been really encouraging for you. Daniel said a bunch of stuff, and I wanted to just highlight a few of them. One is, again, that eat recommendation that Google has made. So experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. Thinking that each of the content, each of the blog posts that you're writing, or even broadly, the podcast that you're recording, the YouTube videos that you're creating, do those address that, right? Experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. Daniel also talked about this idea of, even within that, expertise and authoritativeness. I don't know about you, but like, one thing I have traditionally struggled with is, even whether it's writing online or creating podcasts and YouTube videos like this one, is I sit in front of the computer and I'm like, what am I supposed to talk about? Okay, what's a great visual to like tie in this thing that I want to talk about? And I wanted to share a little strategy that's been incredibly helpful for me and I think could be really helpful for you. So I don't want to take credit for this, but this comes from Matthew Dick's book, Storyworthy. And this probably the past year or so, I've been diving really deep into storytelling and how to tell good stories, both on this podcast, on videos, but also in the written content. And within that book, that's a book that I highly recommend just reading, especially I think it's like chapter 9 or chapter 10 has like a really deep dive into how to tell stories that move people. I feel like the ability to tell good stories is going to be something that is a superpower in this AI generated world, because stories generally are unique and they contain unique nuances that AI can't necessarily replicate. And especially they come from us, right? And our lived experiences. So the challenge then becomes, how do you capture these stories in a thoughtful and sustainable and a systematic way, so that when you are sitting down to write a blog post or record a YouTube video or create a short or do a TikTok or a podcast, whatever it is, that you're not just like, oh my gosh, what do I talk about? In that book, Matthew Dix has this idea called it's called this homework for life. And this concept seems really simple, but basically the idea is, at the end of your day, just take 5 minutes and he recommends taking a journal and doing this, but I've actually been doing it in an AI world way, and I'll share how I'm doing this. But he says, take a journal and simply think about what the most powerful moment of your day was. So this could be something that you, maybe a strong analogy used in session. Maybe it has nothing to do with session at all. Maybe it's something that happened in the course of your life that day. But simply bullet point enough details that 1 year from now, you could look at that and be like, oh, I know exactly what that was talking about and where to go with it. Now, the AI version of this, what I've been doing is I have a, you know, the paid version of ChatGPT. I think it's like $20 a month. I created separate folders inside of my ChatGPT. And one of the folders is, I have one just for content creation. Within that folder, I have a chat that I call the homework for life. And what I basically do is every night, although recently I've gotten like a little bit less disciplined with this, so I got to get back on it. But every night I just take my phone out as part of my wind down routine. And for 5 minutes, I turn on the recording. I think about what the most powerful moment of the day was. I ask ChatGPT to time and date stamp it. And then I just talk for like 3 to 5 minutes. And I give a prompt before even starting any of these journal entries. And I say, hey, I'm going to share the most powerful moment of my day with you. What I would love for you to do is date and timestamp this so that I can reference it later for podcast episodes, YouTube videos, book writing, and blog post writing. And then I share these entries. And what I then typically do is when I'm sitting down to record a podcast episode like this one, I will glance at those different entries. And if the entries start getting, I mean, you know, over a year, that's like up to 365 entries, right? So what I'll do is I'll ask it once in a while to say, hey, can you summarize or can you theme the entries for the past quarter and kind of put it together? And so that then gives me a nice little reference point by which to grab stories from. And it keeps things fresh and it weaves in sort of my life, but in a sustainable and authentic way, in a way that doesn't sound like it was like, quote unquote, generated by AI. So I hope that's helpful. Daniel's doing some pretty amazing work. Definitely reach out to him if you need website design services, SEO services, especially with things changing out in this world of AI. And then also if you just like, I don't want to maintain a website anymore. Again, the website is over at privatepracticeelevation.com, and he had recommended going to specifically to privatepracticeelevation.com/kickoff. And it's a great opportunity to see some of the awesome stuff that they're doing in the world. Have a great rest of your day, and I will see you next time. Bye. Hey there, thank you so much for tuning in to today's session. Just wanted to also let you know that we have a free email newsletter that goes out every week. You can download it over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. Basically, that newsletter contains some of the stuff that's happening behind the scenes with STC and also with my life and how I'm balancing and trying to balance being both an entrepreneur as well as building a life around my family and my health as well. And it also contains the latest podcast episode and some of the stuff that I'm doing on LinkedIn, some of the strategies and things that are working for me. And then finally, a brand new section called On Mel's Mind, where I take a video or a book or a blog post or something like that that's inspiring me for that week, and I share how I'm implementing it both in my life and in my business. Again, you can download that over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. And if you are one of the 3,700 colleagues that have been a part of the email newsletter, I so appreciate you, and I'm grateful for your support. We genuinely try to make these helpful, and just based on the data and based on the feedback we're getting, it seems like we're doing a really good job. So appreciate you, and I hope that you have a great day.